Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this down track.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Goes based on the data you had prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang. It's another edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Hey, we're live back in the studio. I'm back in the captain's chair. And Kat, I see her out there, Miss Kat. And we've also got Carla Trout Breath. Carla Trout Breath. That's good. I like that. Kat.
Yes.
Hello. Hey,
hello.
How's it going? How's
fine.
It going? How was your show today?
Oh, we had a great time.
Yeah, who'd you have on today?
Alan.
Oh, Alan from I Am Haunted.
Right.
Okay, well, I'm sure that went well. I'll have to listen to that on the archive for your show. Anything else going on? Are you doing any investigations in your area or anything going on up there in Puyallup?
Did some readings for some people. And it went well, so we'll see what the rest of the results, how it pans out. Should be good, though.
Okay. Well, got a lot going on here. It's just been a kind of a crazy week. We started doing some analysis on our bookery investigation that took place last, I believe it was May the 12th we did that. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but... we spent the evening there and did a pretty comprehensive investigation, and a lot of stuff happened on that particular get-together. And we just started some of our evidence analysis, and we've found what appears to be a two-minute-long EVP. And it turned out my cousin, who came along for this little extravaganza, was for his first time doing EVP, and he landed a big one. So We're still going through that, and we'll probably bring some of that evidence up after we do our reveal for our client on that particular setup. But there was a lot that happened. We had a sighting of a apparition. We had a chair that decided to launch itself about 2 feet in front of me. It picked itself up, and it threw itself over, about a 2-foot drop, and we could not debunk that, and we tried hard. We had to set up a kind of a crazy case to make it happen to fall over, and that just did not match what we actually saw. So a lot going on with that. We're also pushing hard to get our other caseloads caught up. We are going to be doing some interesting things in the coming months. We're going to be going to Bodie here next week. That's a pretty much one of the finest examples of a old west gold town or ghost town, built up in the gold rush that there is. It's something like 200 buildings remain from what was originally, I believe, 500 to 600 buildings or possibly more that were in this town that's located in the eastern Sierra Nevada. And it's a good 3-4 hour drive from my home here. So we're going to have a crew of four of us are going to head down there and take a look at that. We're going to stay in the Bodie Victorian Hotel, which turns out to be, the only way you could say it is to call it what it is. It's a bordello that was transported 14 miles from Bodie to Bridgeport, which is, I think, the nearest town to Bodie. And they have some rather, shall we say, playful ghosts there who like to hide things and pull the covers off of you. And in talking with Gene, the owner here the other day, as we were getting ready to get our rooms booked and things, she had quite a few stories. So I'm going to give her a call tomorrow and finalize our paperwork with that. So that's going on. Let's see. Made progress on the trailer. We've got the GRI teardrop trailer project is well on its way. We actually have the axle on and the wheels. So my cousin and I actually pulled that down and parked that, and are going to start on the woodwork next week. So we don't know how fast it'll get done, but we're going to be chipping away at this thing. And when we get done, it'll actually be have some custom artwork on it and the GRI logos, and it'll be real nice to be able to transport everything all packed and ready to go at all times. So that's coming along. Let's see, what else have we got going here? Hornet on July 11th. I'm going to spend my 50th birthday, half a century on the planet. Going to be USS Hornet there with Journey Paranormal. My good friend Sharon Coyle is going to be hosting that particular get-together, and there's going to be, I think, 35 investigators. Be my second time aboard the ship, and we're looking forward to that one. Supposed to be a pizza party there. I'm not sure I can get 50 candles on a piece of pizza, but we'll try. Bring in the ovulus, because I'll have, I think, the second ovulus aboard the ship that night, so we'll be able to split up. They have another gentleman, a psychic, that's going to be attending. So that's kind of what's going on the docket right now. Oddly enough, here on the ranch, we've had quite a few sightings of shadows. A lot going on. Since we came back from Virginia City investigation a couple weeks back, things around here, my ghosts went crazy. So there's just a lot going on. We're sighting shadows about every day or every other day. Either my mother or myself tend to see them. So we're kind of keeping a log and seeing what we can make sense of here. But so that's happening. Tonight's show, we're going to talk about Elsing's secondhand shop. And this is Vicki and her husband over in Stoughton, Wisconsin, run this two-story secondhand shop that has quite a history to it. If you go out to their webpage, it's out on www.freewebs.com/Elsing. And that's E-L-S-I-N-G. And you can go out there and look for yourself and check out some of the pictures of this place. They've got one shot of this in 1892, and it's got quite a history. And we're going to talk a bit about her book that she wrote about this particular building and her experiences there, I think since 2004. So, we're going to have her on at the half hour mark, and I'm going to try for the first time to use Skype to conference her in. So that's going to be an interesting experiment. So we'll see how we do there. That said, let's go ahead and jump into the news, and let's see what we have here. I don't know if Kat's up for doing the noise today, so let me see if I can find the...
Why wouldn't I be up to doing the...
I just wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure. You sounded a little tired there, Kat. It sounds like you were up, like, you know, quite a while. So a lot going on there. So I just wanted to be sure you were good. Well, I can't find it, so just keep doing that. Okay. Looks good. So what we got there, thank you, Kat, and this is the ABC News Technology and Science. We have the first Twitter experiment probes belief in the paranormal, and this is a story from June 10th by Richard Wiseman. Last week, I conducted the first scientific study to be carried out using the instant messaging service Twitter, continuing a long tradition of using new communications technologies to conduct mass participation experiments. The experiment examined remote viewing, the alleged psychic ability to see distant locations. And from the 1970s to the 90s, the U.S. government spent millions of dollars researching the phenomenon. And some have claimed that that the results supported its existence. I am deeply skeptical about paranormal abilities, but Twitter provided a great opportunity to conduct a large-scale public remote viewing study. Sent out a message on Twitter to about... announcing the study, and 7,000 people signed up. First trial was an informal affair and involved me traveling to a secret best location and then sending out a tweet, asking participants to tweet back their thoughts, feelings, and impressions concerning my location. And people were saying that they saw grassy hills, concrete, car parks, odd-shaped sculptures. And 20 minutes later, he sent a second tweet containing the address of a website that allowed everyone to view a photograph of a location, a Weir. I asked the participants to rate their belief in the paranormal and the degree to which their thoughts matched the target. And he says about 1,000 people participated, with paranormal believers claiming high levels of correspondence between their thoughts and the actual location. So it goes on, it goes on there. I'm not sure that everybody, Kat, can do remote viewing. I think, some people may be, I think everybody's got some ability. But, you're like a natural at it. I haven't. I've never really tried it. I'm not sure how good I would actually be at it. But I think this is interesting, that the idea that they're going to use these kinds of tools, excuse me, to... do these kinds of things. But I think the flaw in this story is that this guy already came out and said, well, I'm skeptical. So, you've got to kind of set aside that right up front and just go in with no expectations. And so I'm really not sure what to make of this. This came from, New Scientist, which is, I believe, a publication. So this guy, Wiseman, is probably in the PsyCop or that type of group, who are just really out to disprove anything that's out of the ordinary. So anyway, interesting story. Would be interesting to try that on our own. Maybe get some influential group to do that and play around with that. So let's move on to the next story. We've got, this is a conference off of, I believe it was on June 12th this came out. This is UFO and Paranormal Enthusiasts will invade Kansas City July 18th through the 19th, and hopefully they'll have a UFO with a paranormal investigator aboard land there too. This is the it would create a real attraction. The annual Mysteries of the Universe conference always attracts people interested in the paranormal. The event is scheduled for July 18th and 19th, 2009, in Kansas City, Missouri, at the Intrigue Park Place Hotel. The conference is the largest of its type held in the area and is backed by popular demand. And so this goes on. Let me see if I can find the particulars. Let's go down here. There's a whole set of lecturers, UFO abductees, book authors that all through here. But registrations are recommended in advance. Cost is a bargain at $59. By June 20th, and $70 after June 20th or at the door. Advance registrations are recommended. Special hotel rates are available prior to June 20th. Visit www.mouconference.net for more information. And media is welcome. Press pass is available for those who have those. And looks like an interesting get-together. So the link's on our GRA homepage. And let's move on to the next story. What we got here is from our good friends at theexaminer.com. Always we get a great story out of those guys, and I'd like to have them on. This is from Debbie. That's an interesting way to spell it, D-E-B-E, Debbie Branning, Arizona Haunted Sites Examiner. And this is from June 13th, Ghost of the Riordan Mansion, and I believe this is in Arizona. The historic Riordan Mansion was built in 1904 as two connected houses for two families. The two brothers, Timothy and Michael Riordan, married two sisters, Carolyn and Elizabeth Metz, and set up their homes and businesses in Flagstaff, Arizona. And they made a fortune in timber industry in Flagstaff. I just created a new name, Flagstaff. Anyway, it goes on to talk about the way the house is constructed. They've got this billiard room in the center of the home, and it's one of Arizona's most historic and elegant pioneer homes. The couples raised their families in the private quarters, but the focus of activity each evening would be the large billiard table in the center of the living complex, and the families would get together there in song, prayer, games, and entertainment. And today, at this point in time, evidently there's quite a bit that goes on in this place. So they say the energy in this billiard room can be quite overwhelming. Arthur, the son of Michael and Elizabeth, had his own encounter with the supernatural when he was a young man staying in the house all alone. The families had gone off together on an outing, and Arthur declined the adventure, opted to stay home for the day, and upstairs in his room he heard the sound of pool balls clicking on the billiard table. When he ventured downstairs thinking another family member had returned, there was no one there. He shrugged his shoulders, went back upstairs, and a short time later the phantom pool game started again. And this time, Arthur witnessed the balls in motion moving across the table, but there was nobody in sight. And so this is actually a state park in Flagstaff. It just goes on here. They've got actually some period costumes here. In the if you look at the slideshow they have, it's really quite well done. It's Riordan Mansion State Historic Park, 409 West Riordan Road, Flagstaff, Arizona. And if you ever want to get in there, adults, it's $6 to get in. Youth, $250. It's a bargain. Children 0 through 6 are free. Phone number is 928-779-4395. So, yeah, you know, if you're ever down in Arizona way, go check that out. It looks like a neat place. So, okay, and we're at 818. Got a little time here on our hands. So, let's... let me see what's going on in the chat room. I haven't had a chance to see. All right, somebody's putting. Carla's putting a whole bunch of links up. Carla, you're out there. Hello.
Yeah.
Good to see you. And we got so both chat rooms are pretty well full up. Everybody's you know, here to, excited, I think, to see a good friend from the I Am Haunted site. Yeah, Vicki Elsing, we'll talk a little bit about her. She wrote this book, if I can find the page. I'm going to have to jump back and forth here. Let me jump to the show page. And I don't... whoops, I'm actually playing my own show. Well, that not... There, stop that. Excuse me. Anyway, let's just talk a little bit about it. We'll just do the introduction for her, and then we'll do the half-hour break and then give her a call. So we're going to start with what Vicki in the show notes gave us. Our building was built in 1891 in Stoughton, and she's going to correct me, so you know, I'm going to get it wrong no matter what, but
Stoughton.
I'll just say Stoughton?
Stoughton.
Stoughton was, all right, well, that's as good as anything, Stoughton, Wisconsin. For 2 years, it was called the Hansen House, and then it was turned into the Grand Hotel. And in 1922, Carl Bratvold bought the Grand Hotel, running it as a hotel and also as a brothel and bootlegging place. Boy, we just always seem to run into these. Anyway, in 1925, November 26th, the Stoughton police chief Sax Holverson Sr., they say, jumped from the top window in the back of the building, allegedly committing suicide. Jumped forward quite a few years to 2004, and Philip and Vicki Elsing bought the building and opened up Elsing's secondhand shop. And in her own words, Phil and I have done flea markets for about 17 years before opening our first shop. We opened our first shop in the back of a bumper-to-bumper garage, and while at this place, Phil and I had dreams of owning their own building. So they'd had their eye on this one building in town, and every time they went by it to eat, they would always dream of owning it and talking about it, you know, as to what they would do with it. There was a restaurant there from the way this is written, and it would be moving out soon because they were building a new building. So they went ahead and talked to some of the people that worked at the place and told us that we didn't really want this building. It needed a lot of work, and they also said it was haunted. One of my girlfriends also told us that it was haunted. And that didn't stop Phil and me from wanting the building. One day, Phil walked into the building on moving day, and he asked if anyone knew who owned the building. And a man told Phil, "I do." And with that, Phil asked him how much he wanted, and Phil told him, "We would like to buy it." And so from that moment on, they were on their way to owning that particular new building and moved on forward to actually turn it into a store. So in 2004, I guess all the papers closed, and they did a lot of work to get it all up and running. And her husband's got another full-time job, so this has been a labor of love for both of them. And Vicki would come down to the new building after work at the shop at the other shop every night. So evidently they had another shop. I didn't realize that. Hmm. And she would always take Otis, her boxer, with her, and would work at the building along with Otis until about 11 o'clock while Phil was working at his full-time job. Mm-hmm. She always would put the stereo on loudly so as not to get spooked by other noises. She never gave the ghosts a second thought and didn't know what to make of that type of thing. And then a few things started happening. And then one night while Otis and I were at the shop alone working, we heard someone talking. I couldn't quite make it out, and it was mumbling sounds, and Otis started barking, and we heard it again, and she left the building very shook up. After that, it started escalating. This is, you know, a very typical haunt scenario. They make their presence known and then just start, you know, taking it forward. After that, a few more things happened. She went home and started looking on the internet for ghosts, and came up with everything from ghost hunters to paranormals. And didn't know anything about any of this, and the next thing she knew, she was in a whole new world. She's done a lot of research on the building, and repeats here about the Hansen House and the Grand Hotel. Here's some of the stuff that's happened in there. We've had things float off our shelves in front of some of the customers, and Phil. We've had a lot of unexplained sounds, like breaking glass, and yet nothing is broken. Loud crashes as if a whole shelf has fallen and yet nothing is out of place. And that does sound residual, as if it maybe is playing back some of the old memories from its history. So it does sound like that. I wonder how often that happens. We're going to have to ask her about that, because that's just crazy. She's been a real friend to a lot of paranormal groups coming in to investigate from all around the area. And had a lot of crazy encounters and EVPs. And I was reading through the book, and I think you bought that too, didn't you, Kat?
No, I want it.
Oh, well, it's a pretty good book. She writes it in a pretty pretty linear style, where she's just going through from beginning to end. And I'm about halfway through it, and I've misplaced the book, so I was kicking myself because I wanted to finish it before we had her on the show. But the parts I got through where they actually got a video from, I think, the first paranormal group that ever went in there, they did pick up an actual apparition on video.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure about what the URL is to that, if they have it on the web or not. And I don't think she was allowed to, because that group didn't want them to put it up. There was some legal issue that went on there. So, but we can find out what actually happened there, and hopefully maybe even learn more. Now, the name of her book is called The Stoughton, Wisconsin's The Grand Hotel Legacy, The Story of Ghosts and Spirits Within These Walls. And so she was very good about sending us a whole ton of EVPs, so we got a lot to go through here, and I don't think we're going to get through it all between the stories and everything here. But definitely a very interesting guest, and she's got a pretty good going presence there on I Am Haunted. I bet you've dealt with her quite a bit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's been with us for a long time, and she's a neat gal, so.
Well, okay.
And she's written
well,
a cool book, and she's very fortunate to work in a building that she does where, I mean, you know, there's a lot of activity in the building, and if you're into that kind of stuff, it's rewarding to go to a place like that for work, you know?
Yeah, it's one thing to go out, you know, on a regular, you know, expedition where we're expecting things, you know, but to actually live it every day, kind of like what we're going through here at home, you know, it's, we never know quite what's going to happen here on the ranch. So I know what she feels. It's very just, you're kind of looking around wondering what's going to hit next, you know. So I just want to really see what she's got to say. And I wonder what's happening these days, because I didn't get a chance to talk with her beyond getting the show scheduled. And she was real good about postponing, because we had the surgery with my dad. And in her own case, her mother was actually in the hospital, and there was some stuff going on there. So we're really glad to have her aboard. And we're going to go ahead and just break for about 4 or 5 minutes here.
Right.
Give everybody a chance to do that thing that Kat always says.
Go pee.
Yep, go do that. Grab your coffee. And then we'll give this Skype thing a call, chance. And if that doesn't work, Kat, you've got the show notes, right?
Yeah, and I can call her on my phone and just two-way her over here.
Okay, well, let's tell you what. Let's try the Skype option, because this is kind of a first-time test for us, and we'll see if that works. If it doesn't, then the backup plan is we'll use your tried-and-true method. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to jump back to the control panel here for the show, and we're going to play The Cats Can Dance by David Electric. Here, that all looks pretty good. Let's give that a shot. And this is GRI taking our little break here.
Oh.
Different, not our normal music we play, but
no, but it was cool.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. It was called Cat Can Dance. So I saw it. And I thought about you, so I figured you were dancing there on the on the other end.
Yes,
so,
I can dance. Yes, I can.
Yeah, yeah, and so can we. And we're going to see if Vicky can dance here, if we could get her on. So we're going to click the OK button on this conference thing and take a. Cross fingers and see if we can get that phone to ring. So let's give this an okay. And, oh, that's interesting. Well, well.
Huh.
It's ringing.
Hello.
Hello. This is Ghost Rider Radio, Paranormal Radio. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Is this Vicky?
It is. My voice is really bad. I've been sick for about 3 weeks now.
Oh, well, we'll try to keep it so you don't have to talk too much, although you are our guest.
Oh, that's okay. I'm getting better. My voice is just really, really deep right now.
Okay. Well, hey, welcome aboard. You're our first guest trying the Skype connection out, so this actually worked out really well. We'll be able to call all kinds of folks.
Sounds good. That'll be fun.
Hi, Vicky. How are you today?
Hi, Kat. I'm doing good.
That's cool.
I survived another ghost hunt.
Oh, my gosh.
What happened? Let's hear all about it.
Oh, the last night I had CPI in, and we actually, two of us sat and watched a shadow walk back and forth in front of us.
Whoa.
And then two of the investigators heard one of the spirits say her name, which is Kathy, and it was caught on all the recorders.
Oh, my God.
And it's a Class A EVP, just as clear as a bell.
Oh, my. It did it. So you say you saw, how many people saw it walk back and forth?
I did, and a guy named Joe did. And we just sat there and watched it. Well, he watched it for a long time, and all of a sudden I thought Joe had walked in front of me. And I reached out to touch him and said, Joe, did you just walk in front of me? And he wasn't there. He was standing next to me. He said, no. I said, I just saw something walk in front of me. And he goes, I've been watching it for a long time.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So it was a pretty awesome night last night.
How often do you have investigations there at the shop?
I try not to do any more than two a month.
Oh.
I'd like to get down to one a month.
So you've had your you're pretty convinced it's totally haunted there, and you've got all the confirmations you really need for a while.
Oh, I am totally convinced, but the ghost hunters enjoy it so much, and I don't want to take that away from them, so I continue to do it.
Well, you know, I was reading in the show notes about your first time that you kind of noticed when this was happening. Can you kind of, you know, give us a little, inside story as to what happened there? I mean, what were the things going on that kind of caught your attention when this all started?
Well, it first started with the voices that we heard, and Otis was sound asleep, and he woke up growling and barking, so I know he heard it too, yet I couldn't make it out. And that really scared the bejeebies out of me, and we left the building pretty quick that night, and I do not go into the building at night alone anymore.
Oh, really? So there.
I think it's just a fear factor, you know.
Yeah, even though you're in there all day, yeah. Because I read, I'm about halfway through your book, and I hadn't gotten through all the cases, but you had actually spent the night in there a few times, I think, with some of the groups. But you've had both good and bad encounters there.
Yeah, nothing real bad has happened. It just, you know, sometimes it scares you. And I've said many times, okay, the next time I see an apparition, I'm not going to be scared. And when it does happen, you still get scared.
Yeah, I completely understand that. We've got our own little haunt going on here, as I've mentioned earlier, here on our ranch. And we see shadow people here quite a bit. And it's you never get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't scare us so much anymore as it is, it just surprises you, and you go, whoa. And
well, if the door wouldn't have been shut last night, I'd have been running out of the room, but the door was shut. And what we think happened, it was a real small room that we call Simon's room, which is downstairs and way in the back. It's one of our storage rooms. And we think we had it cornered, and it was pacing back and forth.
Oh, my.
Wow.
So it was kind of really neat. And just that two of us saw it, you know, was really neat. There was only three of us in the room, but it was still kind of daylight outside, and the door doesn't have a real tight seal on it, so you could see the door light coming through, you know, where the door shuts.
Yeah.
A little bit of framing the door. And you could see this thing walking back and forth. In fact, we opened the door to make sure nobody was out there, and there wasn't.
Did you
have to, you know, climb over my fence to get back there anyway?
Well, did you happen to get any video at all of it, or were you just...
we didn't have the video equipment in there. We had the, you know, the voice recorders and that. We took pictures. I haven't seen anything on my pictures, but I haven't had time to really open them up and look at them on the computer yet. You know, I looked at them in the little camera window.
Do you think you know who this might have been?
Well, I've had a lot of mediums and sensitives in, and they call that one in that room Simon. And supposedly he's a black man in bib overalls.
Okay. And he's, so it's a pretty constant set of presences that come through there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what are the active zones of the business? I mean, you've got the two stories, and I think you do have a basement,
We've
if I remember
three
right.
Stories, yeah.
Yeah, three stories, yeah. Can you kind of walk us through what it's like there and what the different rooms are, and just in your own words, and the things that happen?
Well, we'll go down to the basement first, and the furniture room is always fascinating, and the book room is real fascinating. We've had a lot of activity there, and then we also have a holiday room, and them are the customer rooms, and then in the back of the basement, we have a lot of different storage rooms. There's many rooms down there, and them rooms have been active, too, so I would say every room in the basement they've caught activity throughout the whole building.
Wow.
Main floor stuff has happened right in our front showroom. The most bizarre thing that happened and the most unreal thing that happened was I had three customers in one day, and I had all my paperwork out before I wrote my book, and people would, you know, it was in a loose leaf booklet, mm-hmm. and they would page through it, and I'd have pictures and my ghost reports and all that.
Yeah.
And these ladies were looking through this and saying, wow, I totally believe in this because our sister had died young and they have seen her. And then the third one was with them. She was standing out in the middle of the room holding this about 18-inch chalk, like Cupid doll that you won at the fair back in the days.
Yeah.
And she's holding on to this thing and looked up at us, and she didn't believe in this at all. And when she started talking, of course, we all looked at her, and she said, I don't believe in none of this garbage. It's stupid. And this thing sheared right in half and splattered all over the floor. and she's still hanging onto the legs of it, just stuttering and in shock. By the time she left.
She was a believer then, huh?
Yeah. She was pretty shook, and she was from California. They were on vacation and, you know, all met up and came into the shop.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
With as many ghosts as we have out here, I'm kind of surprised that, you know, she would say something like that, but oh well.
Some people don't believe in it until they actually experience it, and I was one of them people, too, because when we were told the building was haunted, I thought, yeah, right, okay, whatever. And then I had, you know, started experiencing it, and it's like, well, wait a minute. And that's when I started calling people and checking it out on the internet, and that's where my journey started.
Yeah, and then you got into I Am Haunted, and I see you all the time all through there, and you and I have traded messages for about a year now.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's just you're like a part of the family now there, and so we always enjoy seeing what's going on with you and all the EVPs and things you post. So you've become a real fixture in the paranormal community, and it's just a great honor to have you aboard, you know, talking to us about all this.
Well, thanks. I want to learn as much as I can because I want to know why.
Yeah, and that's...
You know, why are they here?
That's the fundamental question we all have with what's going on. Why do these things happen? And, you know, in your own case, I mean, you've actually done so much historical research, which is a real boon, you know.
I've had a lot of great help with it from friends, and one of my customers came in one day. And actually, he hadn't been in the shop. His mother or his mother-in-law, I'm not sure which one it is, came in with his son, who was probably about 9 at the time. And they were downstairs, and his son saw the ghost child walk through the wall.
Huh.
And he never said anything, and then they went home and he told his grandma. No, I don't think he told his grandma that day. He went home and told his mom and dad. And then his mom and dad came down the next day and said, are you the owner? And I said, yes. He says, well, we need to talk to you. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's the matter? And he said, my son was in here the other day with his grandma. And I go, yeah. And he says, well, is this building haunted? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, that explains it then. My son saw a child walk down the hallway, which was in the basement, and walk right through the wall. He said, I want to help you. He said, we love the research. We're into genealogy and all that. I will do your research. So he's been helping me out wonderfully.
Wow.
And his wife and even the kids get into the research. They go from cemetery to cemetery to library to library. Because they want to know who's there, why they're there, do they need our help, you know, stuff like that.
Do you tend to get on your EVPs a lot of the, you know, help me, the typical, what we always get, or help me, cross type of requests, or what are
I've never gotten a help me cross, but we've gotten a help me, and that really bothered me. We've gotten... just a lot of clear talking EVPs. One time, Katie, who's in the chat room tonight, her team was in, and our storage rooms are real full, and they said, wow, it's full in here. And then all of a sudden, you hear the ghost, a man, say, I don't mind it. And it's like, oh, my God.
Are they, since you've done all this, retrofitting and, changing of the building, I would tend to think it stirred a few things up, but, the question would be, they've obviously gotten to know you. Do a lot of the EVPs, bring up your husband's and your name and, you know, talk about.
Never have our names been brought up. Last night I had a ghost hunt with CPI, and a name was brought up, and it happened to be the lead investigator. But the only, you know, we split up in groups, and the only ones that really had something significant happened to them last night was the people that were in my group.
Yes.
I don't know if that's because the spirits know me and they follow me.
Huh.
Hmm.
No, I don't know.
Do you, I mean, you don't live actually on the property. You actually leave there at night and go go to your home. You
have about making the upstairs into an apartment because it's 3,000 square feet up there. It'd make a nice loft, but I think I'd be a little chicken at night if I was alone.
What about your husband? What are the things that's happened with him?
He has seen, he saw the Cupid doll split in half. He has seen things lifted up and floated out in front of him. And it doesn't faze him. He just says, oh, knock it off, I'm busy, and picks it up and puts it back on the shelf. So they do interact with us.
Huh.
I mean, so, I'm sure there's some residual in there. I'm still learning all these great words, you know.
Yeah, the residual.
Yeah, we also have some that interact with us.
So it's a combined.
I was caressed one day, the back of my hair, as I sat in my chair with tears coming down my eyes because we thought we were losing Otis to cancer.
Oh, and I remember that from the book, yeah.
Yeah, it was just really emotional. And every ghost hunt, they always say, could you touch one of us? And I'm always the one that pipes up and say, please don't touch me. You know, I was always afraid of that. And that day I sat in my chair and I had tears coming down my eyes. And all of a sudden I felt this hand go down the back of my head. It's like they were comforting me. And I turned around and, of course, I knew there was nothing there. But
oh,
I looked and I said, I know it. No, I turned around and looked and I just went back to reading the newspaper. And it happened again as I was crying. And I turned around and I said, I know it's you. You're comforting me. And then that was it.
Huh. Well, it sounds to me like...
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a good relationship going in with some of them. Yeah.
And, you know, the ones that... Some of them are mischievous. I think they want you to know they're there and they want you to keep guessing. But I don't think there's anything evil there. At least we've never experienced anything evil.
Okay.
I know. I talked to you the other night about the man in the basement.
Mhm.
And the one that's buried under the floorboards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's that all about? You know, what's going on with that, Kat?
Oh, I did some remote viewing for Vicky the other day when I was talking to her on the phone, and I told her that. There's people that go down the basement and they're not really scared, but you get this overwhelming feeling that you need to leave. You're in the wrong place and you just need to leave. And there's a man, I saw a man in her basement that had been he was brought down there for a reason, and there was already like a grave dog in the dirt underneath the floorboards, and he was stabbed to death, and it was a very messy murder, but it was covered up, and they don't talk about it, but there's a floor underneath the floor that you stand on, and there's a certain area, and there's two poles, and just about 10 feet to the right of the second pole is where this man is buried.
Oh, my. God, you guys need to do something like a ground penetrating radar or something to verify that. God,
let me tell you, the floors in that basement are the most beautiful floors, and there is no way I am digging and ripping these floors up.
Oh no, you know, a ground penetrating radar would just be something you just pass over. It's not going to ruin it. It would just look through the floor and see.
And if a body was found in the
room,
they'd be in, I don't want to know.
You know enough with Kat doing the viewing.
And Kat's not the only one that has said that. Other mediums and psychics have said that.
Oh, my.
I don't want to know.
It's just a little strange that I'm 2,000 miles away from you, so.
Yeah.
What other things have you seen, you know, remotely, Kat, with regard to this one?
They have some people upstairs. They have, you know, little kids, but they have people in their secondhand shop, but they're from like almost like different eras, and they can't see each other because they're from different time periods. But they all interact, and they get a little bit busy. And there's a lady, I believe, she is now Vicky. I believe that's your grandmother. She likes the quilt. She likes all the quilts, all the Afghans that you have in that one aisle.
And my grandmother was a flea marketer, so if she's there, she's happy as can be because she's watching over us.
Oh yeah.
And she would be there
she's
telling
there.
Us how to run the business.
What about in some of the book pictures? I remember seeing that you have mornings you'll come in and you'll find things moved around on you, or things out in the center. Can you tell us about some of those?
We do have that happen. Bowls were laid upside down one night in this line, and it's like they couldn't have just fallen off the shelf and landed like that. They were set that way. We had a horse set of a really old antique rocking horse, which I didn't have a picture of in the book. They used to always be pulled out in the morning, and we think the little girl was playing with it. Just different things have been moved around in the shop. And if I have my camera with me, I try to take pictures of it. We were having a ghost hunt one night, and I don't think this made it in the book. This happened after the book, but it's in my blog, that I wanted. And we were downstairs with a little toy rocking horse, asking the child to rock the horse and to play with it. And we had different items down there trying to get her to interact with us.
Yeah.
And half of the team was with me down in the furniture room. The other half was way up on the third floor. And all of a sudden, the third floor could hear noises on the main floor. So they radioed down to us to make sure we weren't on the main floor, and we weren't. And they said, okay, we're going down. We listened to the noise, and we listened, and they came around the aisle and hear a horse, a brass horse. And I've got a picture of that in the blog on I Am Haunted. And it's a very narrow, tall brass horse. Was taken off the shelf and put out in the middle of the aisle. Now, there's no way this could have fallen
off.
It would have been on its side, but it was setting straight up.
It's like a heavy item, right?
Yeah. And because of the narrowness of it, if it would have fallen off the shelf, it wouldn't have landed standing up. It would have tipped over.
My God.
So that was pretty awesome.
Now, you're just so folks know, your I Am Haunted page, I think, I don't have it right here on the notes real handy, but I think it's www.iamhaunted.com/Vicky-E.
Yeah.
That's it. So for you folks who want to just go out there and take a look at that, definitely get out there and check that out. Now, we've got 55 minutes left in the show, and we've got a bunch of EVPs here. So what I figured is we play a few before the half-hour break and then come back at it. And for those of you in the chat room who have any questions, you know, for Vicky, you know, do an uppercase so Kat can see that, kind of upcase the whole thing, and then we'll know it's a question. And then for those of you who want to call in, our number is 646-478-0377, and I'll be watching the control board for that. So with that, let's take a opportunity. I'm looking at one here that says $100. You remember that one?
$10. I saw that you had $100 written on it. It actually is saying $10.
Okay.
And we're assuming that was one of the hookers. We don't know.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, let's give this a try. So we're going to go ahead and play this and see what, and I'm going to try it at a full 100% volume. So I hope this plays well. Here we go. I heard that. I definitely heard that. It was a whisper. It's one of
yeah,
those.
It real light.
Yeah, definitely. We'll play it again here. Let me click that. So, come on, click. Here we go. Come on. I could actually hear myself on that one. Okay.
That's because I was trying to listen, and I shouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah, that's what was going on. I was going, where am I getting the feedback in the studio here?
That was me. I shut it down.
Okay. Let's try, but we definitely heard that. That's a great EVP. We got another one here from the back room. Says, get us out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Boy, I mean, it was an EVP that they caught on the recordings. I don't know that anything was really going on. They asked questions, and then all of a sudden...
Get us out. Okay. Well, let's give it a shot, and let's see see if we can pick this up. Here we go. I heard that. It was kind of it sounded like a man's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very low. Let me try it. I'm going to boost that to about 150%. Let's try that one more time. Yeah, I heard it, and it's just cut off at right the last section. Get us and then out. It's almost a... Okay,
that was taken in the way back room, back by Simon's room.
Do you think
it sounds very strained, almost like it's labored. Get out.
Yeah.
Possibly not a get us out, but get out. You know, just the traditional we always get around here. Get out or help me or. Let's see. We've got one more, and then we'll take our break. And this is going to be. Go ahead and try the clip to HPI, and I'm not sure what that is, but if you can talk to it after we play it, let's give that a shot. Here we go.
I'm not hearing them.
Okay, here we go. Come on. I didn't hear much there. Let me try.
I hear really old music.
Yeah, that's why I heard music, but I wasn't sure if that was the that was what was picked up as the EVP itself or what. But let me try it again. I'll boost. I'm going to double the volume. And of course the. Here we go. I got to hit it again. And we. That's music. Is that what it was, Vicki?
I'm not sure because I can't hear it.
Okay, it was from HPI. It was clip two from their investigation. We could probably come back to that a little bit later. Let's try one more. There's from the furniture room.
Right.
Child's voice. Barry and Kurt. Let's give that a shot, and
oh, it's right here.
Oh, I heard that.
That's where she said help us, and it's a little girl's voice, and that just really bothers me.
Do you know what it was saying?
I think it's saying help us.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a brief break here and give everybody a chance to do whatever they need to do.
Go pee.
Yeah, that's what we asked them to do. Everybody take that time. So it's all important, guests included. So let's go ahead and I'm going to find just a nice song here or something. I'll put a little Halo music on tonight. So why don't we do Halo Master Chief and I'll bop that up to 100%. And everybody take a break, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Yep. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Just typing something in the chat room and went, whoops, the song's over. So we're back. It's 9:03 here on the west coast of the United States. And in Wisconsin, I think it's a little later. I think we're at 11:03 for you, right there, Vicki?
You are.
Okay, well, we sure appreciate you staying up for us. And let's see. We kind of left off with some of the EVPs we're playing. I'm going to go ahead and just repeat for anyone who asks questions, do the uppercase thing in the chat room so Kat can read that off for us. The dial-in number, if you want to call in and ask a question, is 646-478-0377. And we got about 20 minutes left with Vicki here. So, yeah, you were saying that you were you did this investigation last night, and you're looking at kind of going to one investigation a month. About how many investigations have you had?
Oh, God, I don't even know. I haven't kept track. Oh, I write about all of them. Sometimes I was having three a month. It gets to be a lot.
Wow.
Because I'm down there with them all the time, and most of them are sleepovers, and I totally love the sleepovers. And I love all the investigations.
Okay. Well, do you, since you've been doing this, you know, for, I guess, what, coming up on 5 years now, what's, I think, the most surprising thing you've learned in all of this?
I love the EVPs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed with the EVPs.
That's how we are. It's the easiest and most direct method for getting, you know, that contact and to get those kind of, you know, affirmations that there's something, you know, real happening.
Yeah. And I'm an orb person, and I know everybody hates orbs, but I love orbs.
I you know what? If I can prove that it's not dust or rain or whatever, and you get those kind that are real bright, I believe that those are, you know, that's the 10 to 15% that are going to show up in pictures that are going to be the real deal. So,
yeah,
and if you've got those kind, man, I'd like to see those pictures you have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have
those? Some are in the book, and I do post them on I Am Haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to check that out.
And on I Am Haunted, if you go into my pictures, there is a picture of the ghost movie in there.
Oh, yes.
I paused the movie and snapped a picture. And that's the only way I can get away with putting that on the internet.
Oh, yeah,
I was so surprised at that when I read that in the book, and I'm going, what in the heck was that guy thinking? You know, I mean,
this guy was a jerk.
Oh, boy.
And he had some of the most magnificent evidence, and he will not let me have it. I got the ghost movie, and that's it. The other stuff he won't give me. And we literally sat down in the basement in the hallway and watched black squirrels going around their medium. And it was the most unreal thing I've ever seen. I mean, it was like a tornado going around him.
You saw this with your own eyes?
Yeah, all of us did.
Whoa.
And they were also recording it, and then they rewound the video, and we watched it again on that, and it was like, oh, my God, that is unreal. And they won't give me the video.
Do you... No explanation, just no, drop dead, that's...
Yeah, they just say, we can't find it.
Oh.
And then one night in the book room, one of their members came in late, and he was just a real jerk. I had my neighbors down there with us, and he walks into the building and looks at them and says, and who the hell are you? And we're like, oh, my God, you know, he didn't know if it was me or what. You know, and of course he got reprimanded that night, but he never came out and apologized. And then we kept telling him we were having a lot of activity in the basement, and he went down there, and these orbs, and this is why I totally believe in orbs, these orbs literally attacked him down there. We were watching it on the DVR setup because we were on the main floor watching them.
Yeah.
And these orbs were literally attacking him. And we radioed down and told him, and he goes, no, you guys don't know what you're looking at. It's just dust flying around. And I've seen a lot of videos from a lot of my investigators, and there is never orbs like this. And
yeah.
We were zooming at him, and we had him pick up an album and kind of wave it around in front of him to try to make the dust go away from him. It didn't. It just kept dive-bombing him. And then all of a sudden, he got the strangest look on his face. And my neighbor said, look, he just heard something, and he's scared, and he's going to come running up the steps. And darned if he didn't. He ran right up the steps and hollering, did you guys hear that? And we're like, no, we don't have, you know, any audio on this. And he said, I heard the little girl crying.
Oh, my.
He said, don't worry. I had my recorder on me. I'm sure I picked it up. Well, of course, I never got that either.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you...
And I had my neighbors for witnesses, you know, so it's not just me watching this. We were all watching it. And they just turned into real jerks, and I don't know why, because I am good to every one of my investigators that come into the shop. I mean, I bake cookies, I make popcorn. When they were coming in, I would order pizza. I took them camping up to the land. We did everything we could for them.
We want to come there.
turned around and did this, and it's like, oh, my God, I have a refrigerator full of soda and, you know.
Oh, my.
We're on our way, Vicki. Yeah. We're on our way.
We're coming
Everybody
out.
Everybody loves my cookies.
Well, it sounds like you've instrumented the place out then. You said you've got a DVR system in there, so you're actually...
No, I don't. My investigators bring DVR systems in.
Oh, I see. But you've got your own, like, just, you know, basic outfit then. You've got your audio recorders and, you know, camera and that kind of thing, and you're constantly doing work in there. So what's your usual procedure when you go in there? Are you kind of, you know, in the morning you're not sure what you're going to get, and you've got everything ready to go and just in case something happens?
In the morning, it doesn't bother me, but I don't have to go down in the basement because my husband goes there before he goes to work in the morning. There's something about the basement that just kind of freaks me out unless I'm down there with people, or once the lights are on, I can go down there. So my husband goes every morning before he goes to work and turns on the lights. And I walk in with two big boxers. I have two dogs now, Otis and Baxter, and they both experience the ghost. And Otis will not go downstairs if I go downstairs alone. He waits at the top of the steps. If I go downstairs with customers, he will follow us down. And I'm not sure why. If it's
protection, maybe?
Or what. It should be. But all the time that I was working in the building alone at night, even I would have my mom come, and she couldn't do the steps, but she would come and sit in a chair at the top of the steps while I had to work downstairs.
Yeah.
And I tried and tried to get Otis to come down with me, and he wouldn't. He'd lay at the top of the stairs.
Oh, that's...
And, it's really weird. Now, Baxter runs throughout the building, but he's puppy yet. He just turned a year on Tuesday, and he just started having his first experiences probably 3 or 4 months ago, where I literally think he was listed up on the counter twice in front of me.
I was just going to say, tell John about what you told me about that.
What the
heck?
It
was just unreal. I was putting the money in the cash register, and he was sitting in front of the counter where people check out, and he looked up at me and cried, and all of a sudden he was on top of the counter. He didn't jump up there. All 4 feet landed at once. And I looked at him, and I said, what are you doing? And I've never seen this dog jump before. And I picked him up and put him down behind the counter, and he ran around front and started crying again, and the next thing I knew, he was on top of the counter. And it wasn't a leap. It was all 4 feet all at once, like he sprang up there.
That's
and
weird.
It was just unreal. And for 3 days, that dog was terrified. He shook. He was nervous. He paced. He whined. And it was just, I don't know what happened.
That's kind of like we have a cat that's kind of totally an indoor cat, and she's actually somewhat blind. She can only see about 3 feet. She's Persian Siamese mix, and her name's Biddy. And,
she's cute.
She's a sweetie, and she thinks she runs the house. You know, she'll choose who's going to be her person that day, and very ceremonial. But there's occasions where she'll look up and track something that's walking through, and we can tell that we've got a spirit moving through. And then there's mornings where we'll be all up in the morning and sitting there having our coffee, and all of a sudden, wham! She comes running through like something's chasing her, and she is flying. And sometimes she just will have that happen, and you won't see her for a good chunk of the day. And we just don't know quite if she's being chased by this thing or whatever. But I hear what you're saying about your dogs. Trust me.
Yeah.
But to be lifted up, that's a new one. I have never heard of a pet being picked up like
that. This is a good-sized boxer.
Yeah. I mean, that takes some energy to do that.
Yeah. And he was just shaking. He was just scared to death.
Did you sense anything yourself when that happened? I mean, did you get a cold spot?
No, I
didn't.
I wasn't even paying attention. I guess I was just doing my thing by putting the money in the cash register and going about business, and then all of a sudden he was there.
Well, you got to look at this as an advantage. I mean, considering that if they're disciplining the dogs, think about what it's like with the security at night. You know, they're watching out for the business.
Oh, I think they are. I don't think anyone will ever break into that place.
I don't think they'd have a good time at all.
No.
I think there's enough projectiles that they'd throw at them that it would be a suicide to go in there.
Yeah, I think so.
So, if you had a guess as to the number of ghosts there, in spirits that you've had encounters with, what would you say total ballpark?
What would I say what?
What's your ballpark guesstimate on how many ghosts you actually have there?
Oh, I would say anywhere from, I'd say 6 to 10. And then I think we have passing through spirits too.
Yeah, when I talked to you a couple weeks ago on the phone, in fact, I'm talking to Katie in the chat room about it right now. You have ghosts that pass through.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think we do.
That would be some of the kind of fleeting activity that your dogs might be picking up on is just as animals can sense spirits, they can sense when spirits, when they're familiar with the ghost, and then if there's some that they're just passing through that they're not familiar with, they would treat them like strangers, but instead of approaching them, they would run.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
And I often wonder if there's a vortex in the building.
You have three of them.
I don't know a lot about vortexes, but I do wonder that.
You have three of them.
Yeah, I would totally believe it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You'll have to take my word for it. Those I can smell.
Uh-huh.
I can smell them, and you have three.
Wow, that's awesome.
As far as times of years that of the year that things seem to happen, is there any kind of pattern or times of the year or time of the year when things happen more than other times, or is it pretty constant?
I really have, I log everything. I keep a journal, and if anything happens or any customers tell me anything happens, I log it and date it. And I don't notice any pattern whatsoever.
It just seems like it's...
I notice some of the same things happening in the same areas.
Such as?
A few different investigators have got breathing on the steps. Just some of the same things and the same feelings in the same rooms have been gotten by different groups. On the same date.
Now, you've had, I see a lot of references to the HPI group. They've done a lot with you with regard to this. So are they like a regular set of visitors?
Yeah, HPI, FBSH, and PIM are very regular groups in my shop.
So they really know it well and have got obviously a ton of evidence off of that.
Yeah,
huh.
They come up with some great evidence.
Well, and you've got their links to their sites on your like I Am Haunted page.
Don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll look into that and see if we can kind of help that along a little bit with some of our show notes
all
after.
On I Am Haunted. That's where I found them, on I Am Haunted. So they're all out there.
Okay.
Well, I've got their links in my book.
Well, we will definitely. Yeah, that's right. Because you've done a great job with the way you laid that out. What inspired you about the book? That's a great direction to go. What got you thinking about doing a book in the first place?
Well, I never in my life dreamed I'd do a book, but I kept records of everything. I wrote about each of the ghost hunts so I wouldn't forget anything, and then of course I've got all my reports. And I just kept compiling these papers, and everybody kept saying, you should write a book, put it in a book. So I started looking into it, and I did it.
And now you're on Amazon, and you got people buying it, Liz, just like I did, and reading through it and just being blown away by some of the stories and the history. I mean, the police chief that jumped off.
And I've heard a lot about him since my book came out. People around here don't talk a lot. But now that my book is out, I've heard some stories. And I do have, when the hotel was busted for bootlegging in my book, and he was actually not charged in the end. He was let go at the end. And I found out why he was let go. Well, all the cops in Stoughton were crooked. And unfortunately, a lot of cops are crooked.
Oops.
But back in them days, they were very crooked, and they were taking bribes and that. And they were going up to the courtroom with the bottles of booze, and the cop dropped the bottle of booze. Well, this is way back in the 20s, So, of course, they didn't have DNA and all that. So they walked into the judge's quarters with a piece of glass, the broken bottle, and said, this is the evidence. And he says, well, that's not evidence. The booze was all over the stoop outside, the steps. So the evidence was gone. That's how he got off.
Oh, boy.
And I didn't know that when I wrote the book, but I found that out afterwards from people that have read my book.
Huh.
They filled in a few of the blanks.
Did they ever really find out why this gentleman jumped out the window, or, you know, maybe was helped out the window?
Well, I've been told he did not jump out the window. He was pushed out the window, and he was going to turn somebody in. And that's all I know on that.
Whoa.
Yeah. And this was given by one of the bootleggers himself, had told his family this, and I happened to graduate with his daughter.
Oh.
And he was one of the bootleggers. And he said, oh, he did not commit suicide. Well, of course, he's deceased now.
So he had
I didn't have a chance to interview him or talk to him.
At least you've got the corroborating story from the family. I mean, that's really good.
I wish I'd have bought this building 20, 30 years ago. You know, then people would have still been alive, and think of the history I could have had.
When
I was talking to you on the phone,
mm-hmm.
Vicki, I had told you that when you had mentioned that police officer that went through the window, I think before you mentioned that, I told you that you have investigators that go in there that they either feel like they need to run through the wall or they need to jump out of the window.
Uh-huh.
And you'd confirm that. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Wow, yeah. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah. The amount of energy that it takes for a human to do something like that would linger, especially if you have vortexes in the building. So at that point, I remember I talked to you, it would be cool to get the anniversary of that, because that's when most of the energy would be present in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And there are cases where you get activity like that on an anniversary, and it can literally melt an EMF meter.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I had a walkie-talkie. This happened with this naughty group, too. We were doing an investigation. My girlfriend's cell phone literally heated up and almost burned her leg.
Well, that was in the...
It worked right after that.
That was in the book, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I had a walkie-talkie, we all used walkie-talkies, and all of a sudden, I was holding this walkie-talkie in my hand, and it felt like it literally blew up in my hand. It was the craziest thing ever, and it was a loud noise, like it blew up, and everybody heard it. And, of course, I flung it out and in the room and hollered, what the heck? I'm sure it was something different than that, which wasn't very good. Here's the daylights out of me.
You're loud.
And they go, what was that? And I said, my walkie-talkie just blew up. I mean, that's what it sounded and felt like in my hand. I felt like my hand had been blown up. And they walked over and got my walkie-talkie, and it was fine. And then, of course, everybody put their walkie-talkies down and didn't want to use them anymore that night. And the next, I'd say 2 days after that ghost hunt, I thought, I'm going to look at my walkie-talkies, and I turned them on, and the one didn't work, and I honestly don't know which one it was because they look alike. And I took the batteries out, and this battery was corroded in the center like it was a ring around the battery, not on
mm-hmm.
the end.
Ooh.
And I've never in my life seen anything like that before.
You know,
I have no idea what caused that.
You know, that actually turns out to be evidence of a sort. If you ever have that happen again, just some advice, actually bag that thing up and save it. And,
I still got it.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
You ought to have that checked
out.
Not
the battery. Not the battery, but the walkie-talkie I do.
Yeah.
And it's never worked great since.
Do you remember the date that happened?
It should be in my book.
Okay. That date would be significant.
Uh-huh.
High energy, it's been my experience in an investigation that a high energy spike that would do something like that is an end of a life.
Yeah.
that's been impregnated into the building itself. And since you have so many vortexes, it's possible that on that date you could set up either a walkie-talkie or like an EMF meter and set a remote view camera on it, and you may literally be able to see it melt.
Uh-huh.
And that would be significant.
Okay.
So,
well, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on 9:26, and, you know, Vicki, we've really had a great time having you aboard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to come talk with us, and we'd sure like to have you on again, you know, in about 6 months or so.
Well, thanks. It was fun being here.
Yeah, thank you, and, you know, I'm going to finish that other half of the book, and we'll also make sure that we post some of the other links to some of the other groups and things, and do a follow-up on that with you. And just wanted you to know I really enjoy the book, and if I can, once I find it wherever it went, I'll finish it and then get back to you and talk some more. But we really, really thank you for being with us on GRI Paranormal. And,
thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you, Katie, or Kat.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and give you the night off, and we'll just go on and close the show out. So thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
Thank you.
Yes, bye-bye.
Lay down. coming.